Welcome back to How to Be a Better DM. I'm your co-host today, Justin Lewis, here with Tanner Wayland and Rob Van Auken. Go ahead and say hello, guys.
Hey.
Good evening, everyone.
And you are joining How to Be a Better DM in our mini-series on collaborating for homebrewing a adventure one-shot. And today, we wanted this to be raw and unfiltered, really, just to show you kind of the ins and outs of how to work with other people, the ebb and flow of ideas, and in our case, starting with one idea, refining it, and kind of changing trajectory. Today, we are going to be going through our document that we've worked on together and kind of simplifying things, clarifying things, and we actually should be coming close to the end after I think we have everything figured out today. We should be able to send out some assignments to each of us, have things written up, and then probably the next time we'll have our final polishing session, but that might be wrong, so we'll see.
Yeah, sounds great.
And we are just starting at the top of the document. And then one word of advice to all of us, if we can, just try and describe whenever we're like that part there, try and describe for the audio listeners, because I know this, we're doing it in a visual way, but the audio listener might not be, so.
Okay, perfect. Just for the listeners, we've honestly been working on this for a sec with Rob, but I just have to say he's wonderful to work with, and I appreciate that. Just had to throw that out there at the start.
Agreed.
Aw, thanks, fellas. I feel the same way about you guys. You guys are consummate professionals, and I appreciate the willingness to work with a newcomer, and I'm enjoying myself. And you know, this is hard. This is hard. We have we're in two different time zones. We have our lives are doing things in different times. So writing is hard to begin with, and to collaborate across time zones. At least we have the tools now to do that. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to polishing this thing up.
Love it.
Excellent. So I figure we would start at so we have kind of a page that's above like the actual one shot. Do we need to work on any of that? And that's kind of some of our thoughts, or do we need to just kind of forget about that?
Honestly, I think this is old.
So this page just outlined like our original ideas, our locations, and a couple reminders for ourselves to do like the three pillars and things like that. But yeah, I think this stuff is all.
Sounds good. So then for the listener, there's a portion that says theme, setting, three pillars, location, timeline, and then assignments and reminder. I'm going to delete everything above assignments to theme.
Deal.
Because that is no longer useful. I'll leave the assignments one there unless we feel like we do need to delete that.
Go ahead.
You,
Jack. I think we could leave that section. I think that we're going to have to probably modify the assignments as they stand, because right now we're like, oh, each of us is making two NPC mentors. Right now they would be trial givers probably, and then a random NPC just to flesh out the world a little bit more. I don't know if that's what we're going to be doing like next, because this time, just for a listener, since our last kind of meeting with Rob, we've come up with a lot of ideas and really solidified the direction of the adventure. And because of that, I think there's just a lot of fat that we need to trim on the document in general.
Absolutely. I'm all in favor of keeping the assignments heading, but deleting the current assignments so that when we leave here tonight, we at least can put something up there.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. I actually think we can delete the assignments as well, now that I think about it. So if you guys want, there's also on the right, I believe in that section there were comments on the right. Yeah. There's a comment saying replacing the mentors, and this is talking about the assignments we'd given ourselves, replacing the mentors with trials or events. I think this entire section we could probably mark resolved, because I think this is like down the line where we start talking about using bells and doing the trials of bells. I think that's definitely what we're going for. So yeah. Excellent. And then under that assignment section, there's a section that says reminder and then two bullet points for representation and beginner DM suggestions. I believe the beginner DM suggestions were for me and Tanner to create suggestions throughout the doc for new DMs. And I mean, you can feel free to do the same thing, Rob. I'll just put that under each of us as an assignment. Fill out DM suggestions. Or I guess, sorry, I didn't mean to take your job, Rob.
No.
I'm kind of an idiot because I'm like, hey, can someone be the scribe? And then immediately I'm like, oh, I'll write. Anyways, sorry.
Not at all.
Yeah, but for the representation bullet, I don't remember what that was for. Do either of you remember what that was for?
Yeah. I actually added that because for new DM creators and just for the listeners, where this is coming from is that I've taken a couple of courses with professional writing companies to, you know, kind of flesh this sort of game style out. And one of the things that, you know, they stress is to remind your representation. So that just means having a diversity of characters, whether it be racial backgrounds or just backgrounds in general, you know, able-bodied characters and things of that nature. And just having a widespread of different NPCs to populate your adventure or your game. So I just want to make a mental note for us to kind of just keep that sort of thing in our focus, right? So that we don't kind of like, you know, wash over everything.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, especially since we still, I spent some time working on some NPCs, but I didn't really flesh out like them in depth. More like, oh, these were some of the trial givers, and like I came up with a name, and obviously they'd be related to that trial. But you know, it's a great reminder that right. When you are fleshing out and making more dimensional, three-dimensional characters, you know, don't just make them all like yourself. It gets boring
exactly.
That way.
That's all that was supposed to kind of be. It's just a visual reminder to do that.
Yeah,
sounds good. Cool. So then moving on, the next block of text is the title of the one shot. Rob, you had put down How to Be a Better DM Presents For Whom the Bell Tolls. And then over to the right, there's the comment of Just an Idea. So Tanner, do you think that's a good thing? Do you have any comments? Or same Rob, do you have any comments?
I didn't want to feel like you guys needed oblige you to attach your name to this, but if I just thought, because you know, I wanted to give you guys the due credit.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I think with our revised title idea, namely For Whom the Bell Tolls : The Chime Fall Ceremony, for that, if we attacked on How to Be a Better DM, then it does feel a little bit long, but like that's fine if necessary, right? I don't know.
And again, as
to be honest, I would go ahead
visually, if that's a concern. I mean, like, I can of course put like, you know, sort of sure, catty part of that. I mean, the big like, you know, cover text will say, you know, For Whom the Bell Tolls, The Chime Falls Ceremony,
right?
Okay.
I actually think we should do title For Whom the Bell Tolls : The Chime Fall Ceremony, and then kind of as it is on one of the cover arts that you presented to us at the bottom, how it says authored by Justin, Rob, and Tanner. I think we should have like underneath that say, you know, produced by How to Be a Better DM or something like that.
I love it. Yeah, that works for me.
Rather, you know, like let the title be the title, but that's my personal opinion.
No, I dig that. And things like that, the cosmetic things about like where to put, like we'll do a whole round of that before we send this
for
off.
Sure.
And we'll all sign off on the things like that. But speaking of which, I hope you guys like those covers because I was digging them.
Yeah.
Honestly, at some point, I don't know if we want to do this now or at the end or something, we should pull those up and kind of just vote on which style we like.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we'll do that.
What do you guys prefer?
We can do that at the end.
Gotcha.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, sounds good. Tanner, do you want to lead us through like the next two sections? So tips for DMing and setting?
Yeah. So the tips for DMing, basically was just the idea that since we are about a podcast about how to be a better DM, then we would actually have like, so a lot of adventures will have some general tips about like, oh, for this part, do this and this, but it's more just what to flesh out what the writer had in mind. What we want to do is have some tips for how they could do it better as a DM, like just in general, like just period, right? And so as far as that goes, I think this section, not a whole lot to say, other than I picture like the tips kind of like being off to the side of each section, you know? Mm-hmm. Like an example would be, oh, it's a social encounter, and giving some advice about like how to embody a character and how to draw out quieter characters, like things like that, right? That's a great example.
Perfect example.
Go ahead.
One thing kind of came to mind just as you were saying that is some of these tips might come to our minds as we actually DM this for a live table, you know? So that might be part of kind of our beta testing. You know, we put together different one shots, each of us or something, and we see how it goes and we kind of take notes. But that's something we can decide later, as you know, just kind of think about that if that's something you want to do.
Yeah.
I think that works for the whole idea of like, you know, this is, you know, how to be a better DM. I think those DM tips are clutch for newcomers too, because we're making this very beginner friendly. Like it's our hope, I would think, that when we finish this, somebody who's never played the game of Dungeons & Dragons before or any RPG could pick this up and plop this into a homebrew campaign, or to say, you know what, I just want to test the waters with this, and it's a one shot, it's not committal, it's built for 3-4 hours, let me try this out, but I really don't know where to start. Like you said, Tanner, it's a perfect example of the social encounters, or you know, maybe a tip on like how to manage combat, or you know, we're going to have these trials that are set up for characters' ability levels, and originally we were going to have, I think it was 6, and now because of what we've been discussing, we might have like just an appendix of these different events that we would recommend, you know, pick 3 if you have 3 characters, or pick, you know, double up on the events, you know, to the number of players that you have, and pick ones that are catered to their ability scores, right? So you're not sending out a barbarian to do a bard's work with a bunch of charisma checks, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so I think for now, as we talk about this, you two, let's make sure that along with, you know, especially as we make more of an outline of the actual adventure, like step by step, that we'd be thinking about that, about these DM tips, and just like kind of make a little like side bullet point for like, oh, DM tip. And then for now, before we flesh it out, we can just do like, you know, like a sentence, just kind of getting the gist of it, and then once we're like really fleshing this out, we can present each of those tips in a more specific or more instructive way. Okay.
Agreed. You guys want to read through the setting blurb and see if there's anything we need to change?
Oh, there is.
Okay, I'll read this.
This needs to be updated.
So. Setting. This encounter can be set in any village or city. In this encounter, the PCs encounter an event hosted by the regional adventuring guild. The guild is in search of new adventurers. They have designed a series of trials to test new applicants. This adventure is designed for 4 to 6 level 1 characters. Players will develop to level 2 after this encounter. The difficulty can be adjusted at the DM's discretion. So this was the original thing that we came up with. I think that we've kind of decided it's not... Yeah, it could be in any village or city. You know, we kind of pictured this as a ceremony. Or do we want to make the village or city like Chimefall? I thought it was just going to be like the academy name, essentially.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
I was thinking, so location setting, I think... Well, I'm really partial to both the two names that you came up with. Jinglefell and Chimefall. Chimefall sounds like a really cool name for the ceremony, and Jinglefell, which by the way, I think is perfect timing for the holidays, but to have this located in the city of Jinglefell and this be the Chimefall ceremony, I think makes some sense. Now, what that would entail is now our task, right? Like, how do we fit these trials into the Chimefall ceremony? And like right off the bat, like, what is the Chimefall ceremony? Why are they having it? What does it do? Is this a once a year thing? Is this, you know, a once in a decade thing? I'm intrigued. I want to know more. There's a little bit of lore building to this, I think, but I don't want to go too crazy down that rabbit hole because I will, right? But I think for the setting, if we say this can be said in any village or city, this encounter is hosted by the city of Jinglefell, or the event of the Chimefall is hosted by the city of Jinglefell, yeah. I think is enough to kind of just get our feet planted. Are you guys?
Yeah, I would add, go ahead. In the wording, I would say this encounter can be set in any region in the city of Jinglefell. So basically, if you're a DM, you can add this city anywhere, you know, and kind of flavor it to the region. Or, well, maybe we could put in a note, like, as a DM tip, like, hey, if you don't want to, you don't have to call it Jinglefell. You could just make it any city. Like, this could happen in Waterdeep in, like, one of the neighborhoods or something.
Yeah. One thing I like about this, so I noticed one of you highlighted this, I think it was Rob, but the Regional Adventuring Guild. So there's that option. There's also the option that we go a little bit more high level, or I don't know if high level is the word for it, but we basically make it a little bit more specific, and have it be like, hey, this academy in this city, or maybe just the city, like, has a tradition of, like, creating or choosing through trials, like, certain people who become, like a recognized as a, like, a warrior or a guardian or something. Like, we could call them bell wardens or something. I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah, the gold,
like,
man.
City champions. So, like, for the next year, you're kind of, like, you're, like, chartered to champion the city and kind of be its, like, Iron Man, I guess.
So I had this idea of the Adventuring Guild. We started with like an academic kind of academy, and then I came upon the artwork for the cover, which I'm excited to share with the viewers on your stream later. But that image of that figure kind of struck me as monk-like in some way, shape, or form, and I almost want to say that this is like a holy event, that these sort of bell monks or these chime warriors of some kind are hosting this event to maybe elect, like you said, like these bell wardens who are going to be these champions who kind of defend this religion or this order through the upcoming year or calendar year in some way, shape, or form. And a little bit of intrigue here, a little bit of mystery. You know, I imagine some of these bells are enchanted or magical, and that figure is very striking on the cover. And I don't know, she sparked a lot of ideas for me. So I don't know, what do you guys feel about that idea, making this sort of like a religious intertwining, right?
Yeah. I would say we nix the whole adventuring guild or academy and just make it like the city is putting on the festival, because they do it every year. It's like Christmas, essentially. But they do it in conjunction with their spiritual leader, which is this monk organization. You know, and it's supposed to be kind of a jubilant type thing, especially with like chimes and bells. That'd be really easy to be like, we have this tradition of every year on this date, we ring this bell that we only ring once a year, and it's beautiful, and it's supposed to signify the end of winter and the beginning, or something.
Yeah. Like
that.
Yeah.
You gotta write this down as you go. This is gold.
So, yeah, one idea that I had, especially when Rob brought up the idea of like monks, like I started thinking of the Shaolin monks, you know, how it's like, hey, it's like it is a religious thing, but then like they take the protection aspect very seriously. That's why, you know, they learn martial arts. And then I randomly thought of Shaolin Shodan, the TV show, when I was a kid, and how they like
so
had
familiar.
You probably remember if you saw it, but on that show, there were basically like these magical objects that each of them like had a trial essentially attached in order to earn them or something, right? Now we don't need a. Now we could go that angle where it's like, hey, this is a yearly, or you know what? It would probably be even more like we should go big. So let's say that this is like, hey, every decade or every 50 years, you know, some big number, so that like the people And also, side note, I don't think this should be a level one carriage.
No, that was the next thing to go.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that it should be like, hey, they are seeking people, and it's like these monks, and we don't have to like stick with the Eastern thing because that's like a little overblown, but similar idea of like, hey, these monks kind of watch this abbey or this holy place in the center of Jinglefell, and every like, and they have these guardians of these bells, but then when the guardians like fall or perish or whatever else, maybe like every cycle of time, mm-hmm. like 50 years or whatever, new guardians are chosen.
Yes.
And it's the kind of thing where the monks themselves can't choose it. It's kind of like the bells have to choose, right? And that's why the ceremony's happening, is like kind of like the wand chooses the wizard, but it's the bell, yeah. right?
Right.
Kind of deal.
I specifically love the idea of like tying it to magical artifacts, because it incentivizes anyone to be like, yeah, I definitely want to join that fest or that trial. And we could make it so, you know, if you wanted to put this into a campaign, you could easily. I would say with the items, we just make it so like we let the DM choose their effects, or we give effects for them, but we say that like the city can contact you through the item, letting you know that there's trouble at the abbey or something like that, so you can still go do other things and then come back.
You nailed it. That's what was going through my head, was what if I'm a player and I don't want to join this monastery? And I think that the trials I think the bells have to be incorporated into everything, because I think there's just so many cool ideas that we were throwing out. So I love that. But yeah, there's some kind of magical attunement to a bell that you can still go out adventuring with your party or your guild. But if you hear the bell, you know, you are beckoned or summoned back to the monastery in some way. Maybe it opens a portal, or maybe you just hear it and, you know, you're kind of compelled, maybe even against your will, to come back to the monastery. You know, maybe there's a cursed bell somewhere hidden among prizes. There's a whole variety of things that we can do. Again, we could just put that out there to the DMs and then just make an appendix of suggestions for the DM to use. I like that idea that they're not then indoctrinated into this monastery where they have to like sit and be quiet. But again, I like the go big idea, Tanner, too. I think maybe like a score. We use this score. We use decades, we use 50 years, but maybe at every score, the city has this festival to replace the monks or the guardians that have passed away, the turnover, so to speak. And that's what all the trials are for. I'm loving this. This is just flying for me now.
I had a couple ideas.
Go ahead.
Are you sure? Because I've got ideas. Okay.
I know, and I want to hear them.
So first off, I think, it should be something where it's like, hey, the monks themselves don't, like, they may facilitate the trials, but like the bell itself has to be the kind of choosing factor, right? And I like the idea, since we had the idea of these six bells or six trials, why can there be six bells? And each of them kind of has a cooler name for the ability that's like tied to it. So like the one of dexterity could like be the bell of wind or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, which kind of opens up a few interesting ideas. Like one, it opens up the idea of like, that like we could, and this was a random idea I had the other day, it would be cool to find like make a little like sound, not SoundCloud, but like a little sound thing, you know, like file with like, and each bell has its own distinct sound, right? Like, depending on like, you know, if it's faster, like more like jingle bell style. If it's strength, it could be like just a single like boom, you know. But I think that'd be a nice like setting thing. I also had the idea, you know how we were talking about bad actors like kind of mingled in the trial, like as in they kind of want that power for themselves, but they know they can't just like barge in and take it, so they have to like participate. What if we made it like, it'd be really cool if like your party, however many trials they do, if it's three or four or whatever, right? Obviously they win, or they should, you know. But then what if like two of the other bells, you know, the jerks that you started the trials with and who went to other things, turns out they got it and they're the bad actors, so they have these other bell powers. So it could be kind of like cool.
It's a nice follow-up cool thing going on there for the DM if they want to, like, you know, kind of recover those. In fact, now that you mentioned it, if we stick to this idea of like six, and we chose six originally because of, you know, the six ability scores that we were going to design the trials around, and I still like that idea, but maybe there's like 10 or 12 bells in all, but only six of them are up for grabs. Maybe there's still six guardians that are available, or maybe like four bells are just so overpowering that nobody gets to choose those bells, and they're just kind of like put
smart,
you know, like the rocks in the Temple of Doom. They just have their place, and nobody touches the four holy bells because those are the, you know, the Earth Shatterer and the Demon Summoner and the, you know, the Tarrasque, the collar.
I like that for a few reasons. One, it means that, you know, regardless of how many players you have, there's like space for them, you know, as in like, hey, maybe this isn't like an every number of years, but like every time that there's more, like within time period, all the guardians who have fallen or left or whatever else, their bells need to be replaced. And it just so happens that this like cycle, it's like five of them. Or if there's like, you know, more players that, and then if a player doesn't get a bell, right, then like these kind of overpowered bells that nobody really gets, that could be a fun thing where it's like, oh, the DM has the options, like, oh, during the fight with the bad guys or whatever else, the one of the super powerful bells like resonates with one of the players who didn't win because they were pure of heart or something. I don't know.
Another thing,
yeah, go ahead.
We could do to maybe like simplify it so that way there's like not, it's not like tied to a specific timetable. We could just say the bells, like they tone like randomly to the monks saying, we need more champions.
Yeah.
Like we need to recruit. Because this next period is going to be a time of upheaval and, you know, and terrible omens or something like that. I don't know.
That's a good call.
Bell of open sight that kind of warns people of it.
Yeah.
And I also love this idea for I'm going to throw two more reasons into the hat. One, there's this opportunity for discovery because the bells will seem kind of straightforward, you know, the bell of the wind, the bell of the dragon call, whatever. But maybe the players discover some unknown features, you know, like if you play a song with certain chimes or you play them in a certain order, there are different effects or boons or curses that might happen to the party should they start to kind of unlock this. And, you know, maybe as a bonus on the way out of this event, you know, the abbot, the bell pope, for lack of a better word, tells them that, you know, there's the lost bell or there's the lost sheet music. Yeah. I mean, there's a very, this could go on. You can see the possibilities here.
As a listener of this show, you obviously love story. Now that you've had a chance to craft your own story by listening to this show, wouldn't it be nice to get some inspiration? Or maybe you just want a moment of immersion and escape and entertainment. Whatever it is, come join us on our new show, Pact and Boon. It's an actual play D&D podcast in the world of Calignos, where our characters, Jolly, Wolfgang, and Alon, will find and meet each other in hell. And from there, start a troublemaking journey with some near-death experiences that will hopefully lead them to a happy ending. Find it wherever great podcasts are heard, or just go to sessionzerostudios.com/pactandboon. That's PACTNBOON. Start listening today.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel the need to rein us in. That's the problem with working with creatives. We thanks. So let's keep going on this specific paragraph before we kind of move on. One thing I did think we should change is we should change it from 4 to 6 to just 3 to 4, especially if we're trying to keep it to like 3 hours.
Let's just say 4.
I think that
just
would
drop adventure design or 4 or safe. Fewer. You want to say 4 or fewer?
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah,
that works.
Okay, series of trials. The guild here. Let's change this specific phrase to um Maybe the Chimefall Monastery? Excellent. So for the listeners, Robert has just typed in, the Chimefall Monastery hosts the ceremony of choosing every score year to replace its bell wardens, colon, mighty warriors attuned to the bells. He's still typing. Yeah, the monastery's holy bells. Excellent. Exactly. Excellent. So that now says the Chimefall Monastery hosts the ceremony of choosing every score year to replace its bell wardens, colon, mighty warriors attuned to the monastery's holy bells and empowered by them. And then it continues to say this adventure is designed for 4 or fewer level 5 characters. Players will develop to level 2 after this encounter. I'll just delete that.
Okay.
And then the difficulty can be adjusted to the DM's discretion. I think that is good.
Awesome. Love it.
Excellent. Next section, the background.
Yeah.
It has 3 versions, and I'm pretty sure none of them are what we just talked about.
Yeah, we could mix this in its entirety, and yeah. I'll put something out this week with you guys, and we can comment that up this week.
Gotcha.
Perfect.
Gotcha.
It'll be a lot of what we just talked about. I think that's really cool.
Perfect.
Basically.
Perfect. Yeah. Then there is a table 1. The following table provides suggestions for the DM to help craft the encounter. And those are just reasons for the Academy's losses. I think that also is nixed. And then table 2 is...
Already gone.
stricken through, so that's totally
redacted,
fine.
Redacted.
I know.
Cool. All right. Encounter start. Here are some suggestions about how to start this encounter. The PCs arrive at a local village or city to discover what appears to be a festival. I think we can change that to just be arrive at Jinglefell. Exactly. What appears to be a... So, the PCs arrive at Jinglefell to discover what appears to be a festival. An interaction with an NPC, consult NPC interaction table, reveals that the festival is in actuality a recruitment.
I guess you can kind of keep recruitment thing.
Yeah, we can say recruitment.
Or for the region, maybe. I'll just leave it at Chime.
Yeah, I'd say the region. I've been watching a lot of Expedition Unknown, and I just watched an episode where they went to Tibet and they looked at, like, they were looking for Shangri-La. So this is, like, totally in my mind. I'm, like, loving this Chimefell Monastery. This is, like, super cool. So that says now the PCs arrive at Jinglefell to discover what appears to be a festival. An interaction with an NPC, consult NPC interactions table. Reveals that the festival is in actuality a recruitment for the Holy Order of Chimefell, the monastery for the region. Then the PCs have seen flyers about the festival and have embarked to investigate. I think flyers. And then the next is the PCs have anticipated this festival and are eagerly looking forward to applying. That works for me.
Nice.
Entering the village slash city. Upon entering the setting for this encounter, read or paraphrase the following. Even on the outskirts of town, you spot pennants, ribbons, and beautifully colored lights, indicating a general sense of celebration and wonder. That works for me. Children run through the streets, chasing each other, and delicious smells seem to pull toward the center of town. After navigating the streets, you finally enter the city's central square, where countless booths and tents are set up. Various voices yell, trying to entice travelers and townspeople alike to try their wares, middle or games. At the center of the square, right next to the statue of the city's founder, where there's an enormous tent. It has 2 open doors with small lines going into each. Above the tent, you see a beautiful pennant with these words calligraphed in bold letters, "For whom the bell tolls." Okay, I think we could probably get rid of the enormous tent.
Yeah, we'll and in terms of description, a lot of bells. Like, we need to talk about...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, oh, you hear...
Kids are playing with various toy voices bells. Yelling.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Just so put a sheen
maybe
of bell
something like...
It.
Here, let's see. Even on the outskirts of Chinese, about pennants, ribbons, and beautifully colored lights, indicating a general sense of celebration and wonder. More... Oops.
More cowbell.
Anything else, you hear the sound, the sonorous noise of bells twinkling in the air.
Well, sonorous ringing of bells or chime of bells.
Ringing. I like that.
Yeah,
way
I like
better.
Sonorous.
Yeah. Chasing each other and delicious. Yeah, I think. We might want to get rid of the smells. Maybe something like they chase each other trying to steal each other's bells.
Yeah, like a touch football. They've got, you know, bells tied to their ribbon on their waist.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That actually sounds like really fun.
Yeah, you know, which can end up with the most jingle bells by the end of the day is the, you know, king of the hill kind of thing.
Actually, that's like a pretty cool game. Because, like, the more bells you acquire, the louder you'd be.
Right.
So you'd basically be, like, bigger target on your back.
The big noise in town, right? That sounds like that might be a trial, right? Like the fight pit idea from the original one. Like, every time you beat a guy, you collect his bells. And, you know, so you enter the ring, and this guy's got 15 bells already on the day. You know, and, like, you beat him, you're the big...
Or that could be the trial of wind where you have to like steal bells and like steal the most of them,
right,
you know?
I, in my mind's eye, I have like the dexterity one being like a blind monk who's got like one solitary jingle bell hanging on like a staff and your goal is like sneak up on him and steal it, you know? And like there's a lot
that.
Of like dexterity rolls and maybe he's, we'll just go big, right? Like he's standing on top of like, it's like the League of Shadows with the Batman scene. Like they're all on top of like severed logs and
the
you know,
poles.
Yep. You know, and I'm digging that.
That's
blindfolded.
That's amazing.
You know? go big.
Yeah, and then you could do, then for a different trial. I don't know what this would be. Maybe it would be like strength or like constitution. It'd be like the trial of stillness, and you're surrounded by monks,
right.
And like they're blindfolded,
right.
But like if you move at all. Like and the bell jingles, they like reach out and like hit you or something.
Actually, now I want to go back to the other one with the original idea here with the dexterity one. You're wearing jingle bells and he's got like a big old bell and your goal is to ring that bell and he hears you coming a mile away.
Oh, that's
you
great.
Gotta be quiet, yeah. Big enough.
That is such a good one. Yeah. So Tanner made some adjustments to that, so we'll read it now. Even on the outskirts of town, you spot pennants, ribbons, and beautifully colored lights, indicating a general sense of celebration and wonder. More than anything else, you hear the sonorous ringing of bells twinkling in the air. That's a nice, I like the twinkling. Children run through the streets, bells jingling from their clothes and hair. A small group of children chase each other, grasping bells and laughing as they run away. After navigating the streets, you finally enter the city's central square, where countless booths and tents are set up. Various voices yell, trying to entice travelers and townspeople alike to try their wares, victuals, or games. At the center of the square, right next to the statue of the city's founder, maybe we should change that to something about like Jingle Fell themselves, you know?
Yeah, I had the thought as we were reading it. I think at the center of town should be the monastery.
Oh, duh.
Big bell tower,
cause like
monster bell.
Yeah, it could be that. Like, it could be, you know, I had a few different ideas. One idea, do you guys remember the movie Kung Fu Panda?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know how when he's, like, going to see, you know, he, like, has to climb all those stairs, right? To get to, like, the actual monastery. I thought that could be fun. Like, and then, like, on the stairs, they have a social encounter with... essentially their rival in the trials, you know, the jerk kids or warriors or whatever else, you know. It's not like an encounter, but like they're just meeting them and, you know, learning like, oh, this is the Malfoy of the situation, right?
And those would be like the bad actors?
Yes, we wouldn't know it now. We just think that they were jerks.
Gotcha.
But then later.
Now this monastery, what do you guys think? This is just the individual monastery, or this is like the entire city of Jinglefells up the stairs?
I feel like this is just the monastery. So you're like going through the city of Jinglefell. Maybe we get a little bit more description about that. But then in the center of town is where like essentially the mountain begins, and there's some stairs leading up. But that was just an idea, though.
I'm gonna throw in a nod here. For you listeners out there, I'm an English teacher, and I'm reading Edgar Allan Poe for the Halloween season, and I'm gonna steal this phrase from Poe: a castellated abbey. So it's an abbey, it's a monastery that at one point had been a castle that had been converted. So now it was a castle and now it's a converted monastery. So I'm thinking like up these stairs, it's almost castle-like, except for this enormous bell tower that's been erected. And I don't know, we'll call it, just for the sake of this guy, the Father Bell. The Father Bell hangs there and it's enormity, right? And it's got some magical warding that, you know, if someone were to hit it with a gong of some kind, it would, you know, dispel any kind of monster from the area, protect, you know, maybe there's something, maybe they want to steal the clapper from, you know, the Father Bell so we can never be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
I really like the idea of like a castle turned into a religious spot, because that also can like, you know, for any DM or us, we could write it into the lore that that might be why these bad actors are here specifically, because they used like, they're, organization used to own the castle or something.
Yeah, land rights.
And then it got taken from them. It kind of just gives us some options if we want to do that.
It also makes it easy for, I don't know if we talked about this. We're not doing maps for this, are we? Or are we like creating maps for this? I wasn't sure.
I don't see why we wouldn't. I mean, we can, but I think those will be like other details once we kind of get the one shot itself down.
Yeah, so I was wondering, because I was like, if we do make it a castle, like just in general, and if we didn't provide maps, then that makes it easy for someone else, because there's a billion castle maps out there.
Sure.
Go ahead.
My hope was to provide a bird's eye view of the whole fair, not a floor by floor of the castle.
Right.
And maybe if we have a showdown scene, I am partial to a battle map just for the final showdown. I can't do 17 maps for each trial. You know, take me a while. And all I do is bookstores.
Yeah. Sure.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah, so in many ways, then, I think just having, a castellated abbey or monastery.
I like that.
That's perfect. That's great.
On that blurb that we were working on, I turned red the section that I think we should change.
Yeah.
Probably to mean something else. If you guys want, we can work on that now, or we can continue on, and whoever wants to can kind of like comment on that section, adding what they think we should do it, whatever you prefer.
Yeah, for now,
maybe we move on for now, because I feel like we are fairly certain what we want to do there. We know that, like, hey, they're going through this town, going to see a lot of bell imagery, and then we're going to see this castle turned monastery. And then we'll need some description about that, like for monks, like doing like bell related things / monk related things, right? But I think we could move past that. Do we want to jump right into the trials after like they enter the village?
I think that would be smart. I think it would be good for us to kind of figure out. Go ahead, Rob.
So here's what my vote is for this section, right? Because I can easily fall down the rabbit hole trying to describe all these cool ideas like we did. I think we should rapid fire just throw out the name of the bell, and then later try and come up with the trial that might inspire the name of that bell. Your thoughts on this one? Almost like a little game.
I like it.
And I am okay if we come up with as many bell names as we can. We could always just make, like I said, an appendix for trials and an appendix for bells.
Yeah.
And let the DM choose whatever he wants, as long as they've got like the hard part kind of done for them. They can have fun kind of just picking and choosing what we run through right now.
Yeah. Tanner, at that spot, go ahead and put in a table with three columns. And then we'll just fill in, like... Okay. Well, actually, no. Just put in the names. This will be easier because then we don't have to keep...
We'll open right now.
Yeah. Trial of Silence.
I'll put in a table, but just two columns, and then we can just add as necessary.
Because, yeah, I just don't want us to like have to add a bunch here and there, you know?
Yeah, smart.
We'll do bells and
trials. I'm also going to delete the section of the other trials. Like, yeah, that's fine. Down, well, yeah.
Yeah, let's just, I think we'll be going pretty much from scratch there.
I'll just delete the trials of constitution and trial of wisdom that I did below. I'll just delete those. Do you love these podcast episodes but aren't always able to listen to them? Do you learn better reading information rather than listening to it? Here's what you can do. Go to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get tips and tricks sent directly to your inbox in written format that you can read and reference whenever you want. You'll get tips that we don't share on the podcast and bonus techniques that, frankly, no one has ever heard before. Again, sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter and get those free tips and techniques right to your inbox every week.
So, I think maybe we should just like put a small time limit on ourselves here. Five minutes.
We have about 8 minutes left.
Sorry.
You were saying the bells, like the master
like the
bells,
name,
right?
Like the bells that are the magical ones. We just come up with the names, throw them out. If there's overlap, we'll choose between them.
So, say for argument's sake, the bell of Dragon Song. Right. I have no idea what that is, and I'm going to have a good time coming up with a trial and a description of that bell.
Dig it. Winter's Bell.
Love it. My daughter's middle name is Winter.
Oh, that's a beautiful middle name. And then you also put down the Joyful Bell.
I put down the Joyful Bell, yeah. I thought that was it just sounded fun and would be great for a charisma-based character.
Yes, yes. The Bell of Forbidding is also another one that Rob put down.
Just throwing some
and then the Bell of Defense
or Bell of Shielding.
The Bell of Shielding. The Bell of Lost Souls.
Nice.
Lost Song.
The Bell of Drinking and Good Chimes.
The Lost Souls is good too. And Good Chime. Oh, I love it. I love a good pun.
I couldn't resist. The Starlight Bell.
Digging it.
Because it also twinkles.
Twinkle.
Bell of Light and Dark. That's good.
Got a good yin yang going on.
We could just
put
down the Bell of Wisdom, because you know. Also, the Bell of Nobel, not noble, but you know what I mean.
Love it like, though. I mean, that's a nice little.
The Sufferer's Bell.
I like it.
That could be an endurance kind of thing.
Bell of Sorrow.
I like that.
Constitution.
Also, the Supplicant's Bell.
Oh, yeah. Bell. The Sufferer's Bell.
Yeah.
And the Supplicant's Bell?
Yeah, Supplicant's Bell. For, like, poor people or something. The Bell of Sustenance. The Bell of Reason. Bell of Alacrity. The Bell of Fortitude.
I feel like I could make a 100 of these in a heartbeat.
Yeah, seriously.
20 is a good number to start with.
Yeah.
20 is a solid number to start with. D20 makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we can go back and change this later if you'd like. If anybody wants to throw the name of a trial out, by all means.
The Trial of Hosts. That could either be like a fighting trial or a trial of being super polite. Either one.
Right.
Trial of silence also.
Yeah. I think the trial of endurance. But the
trial of judgment.
Trial of judgment. That's
literally
good.
A trial.
Which is kind of like a play on exactly. It's you just being a judge.
I think the trial of joy or performance, either one.
Yeah.
Jubilation, good call.
The trial. Oh dang, you already did song. Never mind.
We could change it. I mean, throw it out there. We could always, you know, fix what's broken.
You could do the trial of rhythm.
The unending chime or something like that.
Lunch chime.
Infinity chime.
Lunch chime.
Yeah. You have to cook for a bunch of fat sumos. It's
until they tap out by hitting the bell. You know, they've had enough. It's like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. They just ding ding, I'm done. Exactly. Or like the hot ones, the hot wing contest. Those are fun. Exactly. These are a lot of fun.
Lunch chime. Dinner chime. Taco chime.
Bed chime. I mean.
Taco chime. Oh, heavens to Betsy.
Play chime.
Let's see.
Play chime. Play chime is over.
Yeah.
Play chime is over.
These are all solid ideas here. And again, you know, I don't know how much we want to bang our heads against the table trying to come up with descriptions of all these, or just provide this, you know, and let the DM do what the DMs do. It's kind of a, it's, you know, my bread and butter is the random table, obviously, with my counters. But this is fun. These are fun. Like, my mind is racing with what do I do for the trial of the wind? What do I do for the trial of jubilation? Right, and what is the prize for that? What will the bell look like? Which one of these bells above is the prize for the trial of rhythm?
Yeah,
that's a good point. Go ahead, Tanner.
I was just thinking, like, I think our next step, and I don't think we do it now, since we're just about done here. I think whichever way works best for you. For me, I'm probably gonna go bell by bell, and just put an idea, you know, a little bullet point of an idea of what kind of trial is associated with that name to me.
Awesome.
Right.
That's
probably because I think that works better for me than coming up with a trial with a cool name. Cause I'm like, oh, then I got to mesh them, but that's just me. Right.
Yeah. So one thing I do think we need to talk about is, do we want to identify what the trials are? Or do we want to leave that up to the DM? Like Rob said, what do you guys think?
What would that entail? So give a description of the trial of hosts?
Yeah. Give a description, kind of tell how the DM would run that, what the person gets from it. Basically make it so to run, because the way I imagine it is section one or phase one of the encounter, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, phase one. They come, they meet the person that says that this thing's going on, then they do this trial, and that signals the end of phase one, right?
Yeah.
So, ideally, this would be able to allow the DM to roll a d12, pick a trial that exists, and then run that with someone, or run 3 or 4 of these, and then phase one is complete, right? Go ahead.
I think that's a great idea. We could also, strangely enough, kind of come full circle and just say, let's write 6 of them and then give the random table of just the names in case they wanted to substitute things in and out. Kind of model for them what a full trial looks like, and then let them just kind of
I like that. And we could just, honestly, what we could come up with is enough trials in their descriptions so that they have a good starting point, right? And that could be 6, that could be 10, could be 12, you know, just enough for a roll, right? And then be like, hey, as far as the names, you know, have fun. Here are some ideas. That way, or create your own trial kind of thing. And then that would be a great place for a tip, a DM tip, when it comes to like creating trials. It's like, hey, when coming up with an activity, blah, 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 you know, something like that.
Okay. In that case, I suggest each of us, okay, and I'm going to put this up in our assignments. I suggest each of us create one completely new trial, not attached to any of the names, and then create a completely new bell, not attached to the name. Each trial should have one NPC that is kind of running the trial. And that way we have three set ones, and then we come up with a DM tip of saying, go ahead and create your own trial based on what we've done. And also you can use these names if you want.
So let me just recap.
So, yeah, go ahead, please.
We are going to write a trial. A trial and a trial description, and I guess applied in that like the mechanic for the trial, an NPC
to
host exactly. that trial, and then the magical bell or the bell item at the end.
Yes, so the bell that you would receive from winning that trial.
Love it.
And that bell doesn't have to be like a bell; it can be like an axe that is a bell. Right,
I definitely think we should get creative with what qualifies as a bell. I have some more art that I will send you guys that did a lot of inspiration for me. I was hitting the wall there, and I needed to get something, and I went crazy with it. So I'll send you a ton of stuff.
Excellent.
So we're doing that. We're doing a trial. Each of us come up with a trial, a description, the description / mechanics for it. And then what bell you mm-hmm. get. So that's going to be three. And if you guys want to do another one, like, feel free. I think I might end up doing two or three. Just if I have a good idea, totally I'll put it down. Otherwise, I'm not going to put it down.
Right. And to be clear, when I say, like, create a bell, I mean, you name it, you describe it, you also describe what it gives to the player. Mm-hmm. Like
a full item.
The whole shebang. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And... excellent. I think that those are good assignments for each of us, pretty clear, and that should allow us to then progress into phase two on the next time we record, and hopefully that's phase two, and then we do phase three, and then we're done.
Now, did you want me, very briefly, for anyone who might be watching this live stream when this airs,
yes.
to show the bells, to show the cover work?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Go ahead. So let me see if let me stop sharing here so I can get this going for a second.
Yes, and for those of you who are listening, if you check out the Instagram, we will put these up on the Instagram when this is live, so don't you worry. And we'll try and describe it here, but obviously you won't get the good visual cues that we are... And you know what I mean.
So here is our sneak peek of the four possible covers for our adventure here, right? So this is, to describe for the listeners, this has got the sort of ripped page top that if you've taken a look at any of my work before, I've kind of got that kind of ripped page going at the top of my cover page with the title, For Whom the Bell Tolls, an original 5e adventure shot. And on the foreground here is a mysterious looking female warrior with a holy lit hand in front of these three enormous bells, followed by the DM's logo and, of course, our names. And on the second image here, it's the same image, but it's a full cover without the rip, which is very D&D, right? Like, D&D does the full cover photo images. Haven't done one before, but looking at it now, it looks pretty good, fellas. And then the last two images, again, it's the same image. This one is without the female warrior. Again, it's a lit bell, a golden bell, very big. It looks like it could be anywhere between 6 feet and 15 feet tall, depending on your perspective, in gold. And then the last one is, again, the same image, but this time it's got this sort of red overtone to it. Monstrous monastery bell. I love them all. I don't know which one I like best. we'll have our own little vote.
Justin,
behind the scenes.
Yeah, Justin, what's your opinion on this?
I honestly think we should maybe let the listeners choose once we get to that point. I think that would be fun.
What?
To do.
Just kidding. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Feel free to submit your bells answer, too, guys, right? And to the listeners, submit your bell names and take some artwork too.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
That would be super dope. Yeah, well, I think that's everything for tonight. Thanks for being here, Tanner and Rob and myself. But listener, I sincerely hope you are getting as much out of this as we are. Hopefully this has inspired you to reach out to some of your players and friends and say, hey, you want to do some sort of project together? Because for one, it's just really fun. You get to talk to people and they say things that open up your mind to new creative possibilities. And then you say things and it's kind of just this kamikaze. It's like the cyclone thing. But anyways, thank you guys for being here. Rob, Tanner, if you guys want to say anything, go ahead.
Ding dong. No, thank you guys for having me. It's always a blast. I love collaborating with you both. Looking forward to putting this piece out, hopefully as soon as we can, and really just putting our own little spin on it.
Yeah, same. Like, honestly, I think it's been such a good time. I think we're really like picking up steam, you know, really making some good momentum here. It's almost like you could say that play chime is over.
The dinner bell is ringing. This can go on all night.
Exactly. It's the end of the chime. No, that was terrible. That one was way bad. But anyways, thank you for being here, listener.
Here on the East Coast, it's bed chime.
That's a better one.
Bed chime.
That's for sure. As always, we're going to be back next week with another amazing episode from How to Be a Better DM. Until then, let's go ahead and roll initiative.